Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and good evening, and welcome to Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson, coming to you live all the way from the great city of Florence in South Carolina. And you have now tuned into episode 1119. Wow. It seems like after we hit 1,000, all the other episodes just started zooming on by. But we are so delighted that you have decided to join in. Whether you're listening by phone or listening online, we appreciate your support. And we appreciate you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Even though we know time is winding down, some of you may be getting ready for bed or already in the bed. But nevertheless, we thank you for your support. All right, so if this is your first time tuning into our segment with One Touch Transformation, I'm going to share a little bit about that before we go into our topic. So, again, my name is Arthenius Jackson. I'm located in Florence, South Carolina, and the name of my ministry slash nonprofit slash vision slash my baby is One Touch Transformation. We are a nonprofit organization, 501c3. So One Touch Transformation began January 2014, and it started simply off of my story of surviving childhood sexual abuse and overcoming the past of it. I did not share my story until 20 years later of how I was sexually molested by a family member. And so after going through therapy and counseling, I knew that there was more for me to do. I knew that was not the final step. I knew that God had something for me to carry out. And even though I did not figure it out at that very moment, it wasn't until months later that God began to birth this ministry out of me called One Touch Transformation, where our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while educating, empowering, and encouraging all victims and survivors of sexual abuse. So we are out in the community spreading awareness, encouraging and empowering all victims or survivors to let them know that their story matters, that there is hope at the end of the tunnel. You do not have to be a product of what happened to you. You do not have to allow your past to dictate where you're going or even say who you are, who God has created you to be. It's all about surviving and thriving and just sharing what God has done for you, allowing your story to be His glory. And that's what it's all about. That's what ministry is all about. And even if you are not a victim or have not been a victim of sexual abuse, we all have been through some things that may have left us spiritually or emotionally or mentally crippled. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He allows us to overcome any and everything that, you know, we put our mind to and that we believe in Him to do for us. So whatever you have gone through, whatever you may be going through right now, maybe you're experiencing some type of emotional abuse or whatever it may be. You may be experiencing hard times or going through a phase that where you feel like God isn't there or He doesn't hear your cry. But I'm here to let you know that God hears every prayer. He hears every cry. And He can bring you out of whatever you may be going through, whatever you are experiencing. There is nothing too hard for God. If God can pull me out of my past, if He can allow me to overcome and allow me to share the goodness of everything that He's done and let His glory be shown through the story every time I tell it, then I know that He can do it for anyone else. You know, I'm just a little old country girl here in South Carolina. And like I said, I know if he can do it for me, He can certainly do it for you. And you don't have to share your story on a large platform. I always believed that there is always one person or at least one person who is meant to hear your story. and everyone shares the story in a different way and at different times. There is no right or wrong way to do it, or a wrong way to, you know, how you tell your story, because no one can tell it like you. Only you know what you've been through. Only you know what you've experienced. So I always have believed that there is at least one person, there's at least one person who needs to hear your story to know that you made it, so they know, so that they'll know that they can make it too. So however you choose to share your story, allow God to just move every time you tell it. Allow him to direct you, and I promise you, he will be glorified. So for more information about One Touch Transformation, will be coming as we get towards the end of the show, because I just want to go ahead and get started in our topic. And I'm so grateful for Purpose Kingdom Network and the platform that it is, because it allows me to tie in, you know, my faith with my passion when it comes to sexual abuse, because as we know, it's a topic that is rarely discussed in a faith community, already a hushed topic, it's already taboo. But one of the main places I feel, and maybe some of you feel the same way, I feel that it should be discussed in our congregations and our faith-based communities, because as believers, we should all want our brothers and sisters to be healed from their past or whatever traumatic experiences they may have gone through. That's how I feel. And I hope you feel the same way, because as believers, we're supposed to encourage our sisters and brothers. We're supposed to help them when they're down. I mean, that's just being a Christian, being Christ-like. We're not supposed to just push them to the side, or when we see that they're down, just walk on by. We're supposed to be like the Good Samaritan. When we see someone, even if we don't know them, even if you don't know the individual, and they come and share what they're going through or what they have gone through, we should be willing to have a listening ear, to be a shoulder, be someone that they can confide in. And that's what being a believer or a Christian is all about, being Christ-like. So that's why I strongly feel like this is a topic. And when I'm saying the topic, I'm referring to sexual abuse. It should always and often be discussed in our congregations. This is something that everyone should be aware of, and not just be aware of it, because we all know that it's happening. We know that there are some of our brothers and sisters in the congregation, some have gone through this experience and may be experiencing right now. Some may have experienced it as children. And if you're not aware of the effects, then you need to be aware of how much it affects your adulthood, how it affects your relationships, how it affects your relationships with the people who are closest to you, such as family members, such as your spouse, such as your friends. And guess what? It can definitely affect your spiritual relationship. So these are, you know, more than one reasons why sexual abuse should be discussed in our congregation. So not just the topic itself, but talk about the effects of it, how we can protect our children more than anything, and protect one another, the things that we can do, how we can take the proactive measures so that we're able to protect our children and to call those things out. And pray against them, come against them, and, you know, we've got to protect our children. We got to protect one another. So this is why I strongly feel like this is a topic that should always be discussed in our faith-based communities and in our churches. And most importantly, it definitely needs to be discussed in our Black community, in our Black families, because it's just been going on far too long. And everyone is just remaining silent about it as if it's not happening. I mean, it can be happening right under our nose and we just remain silent. I mean, I think about how long I was silent. And one of the main reasons I stayed silent, well, there were several reasons, but one reason that I did remain silent, because I felt like I was the only person that it happened to. And because no one ever talked about it, I was not about to be the first one to open up my mouth and say anything. So there are several reasons why we need to have this conversation, why we need to continue the conversation, bring up the conversation in every aspect of our lives, our family, our community, and our church. All right, so we know that February is Black History Month, and I want to focus on the Black woman when it comes to sexual assault. Probably in the past 5 years, I'll say, and it could be longer, but I just know in the past 5 years, this has been a hot topic as far as sexual abuse victims coming forward and saying either, you know, me too, or it happened to me. And a lot of them have been white women. A lot of them have been some, we've seen a few Black women, and we've even seen and heard some men share their story. But I want to focus on the Black woman. One, I am a Black woman. I am a survivor of sexual abuse. And I can say, I guess, from experience, when it comes to focusing on this topic or having a passion for this topic, and I can only speak for my community or my location or where I am, because, you know, I'm right here in the South. I'm in South Carolina. And I can say from my experience, from the time that I've started One Touch Transformation, there have been times when I often wonder why people do not, I guess, support such movements as far as when it comes to the Black community. So why the Black community don't support such movements such as, you know, Me Too or organizations that are fighting against sexual abuse or trying to protect the children. And if they do, it is often seen as a trend. You know, they'll support for a while, but then it dies out. And I personally never wanted this to just be a trend. I wanted it to be a movement, a ministry, something that is ongoing, always focusing on it, always, you know, showing my passion that I have to help others. But like I said, a lot of times I felt like at times it was just a trend. It was just a trend. And so whenever, we know trends, they do expire or they die down and then they might come back depending on, you know, how popular it is or who the one person is that may make it come alive again. But it's just something to think about. And like I said, I don't know how it is in other areas. Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's not. Maybe others have had more support or better support, ongoing support. But Overall, I can say I have had a loyal amount of supporters. And when I'm talking about support, I'm talking about my Black supporters. There are, and it's not a large amount, but there are a few loyal supporters. And I've been trying to figure out what it is or what to do to have the Black community more involved. And I know it starts at home, it starts with the family, and eventually it goes into the community and it's into the churches. For an example, I remember one day I posted a status asking for the help of, you know, just local pastors. And I didn't specify whether I wanted Black pastors or white pastors, but I just posted that I wanted the support of pastors who were willing to open their doors to having the conversation. And I just told them to comment, inbox me, let me know if they were on board. I think I may have had close to 20 to respond on the status, but when it was time to do the presentation, only two churches showed up. Only two. One pastor and, you know, a representative from another local church. And at first it made me feel some type of way because I feel like a lot of people when you put it out there on social media, they want to be seen and say, okay, I'm on board. But when it comes down to actually executing, then you're left with little to nothing to work with. But when it comes to, you know, Black women as survivors, it's often seen and felt as if we have no support, and especially from our own people. And it can be hurtful. And I'm not saying every Black person is the same way, but overall, there is very little support for our Black women who are survivors of sexual abuse. I'm still looking for the answers. Maybe some of you who are listening tonight may have the answers. But I want to start off with this from the Washington Coalition of Sexual Assault Program, and it talks about, you know, the African Americans' advocacy considerations. And it says, understanding multiple levels of oppression, the history, and the contributions of women in the African American community can help advocates and programs consider more culturally relevant services and intersectional approaches. From the earliest days of America to today, African American women have been at the forefront of movements against sexual violence and rape. And that is so true. So although we may not have the support that we all want, but you see it, I see it, there are a lot of Black women who are fighting, not just fighting for, you know, sexual abuse victims, but there are a lot of strong Black women who are just fighting, period. But we do see a lot of our African-American women who are standing at the front line on movements against sexual violence and rape, because when a woman works, I mean really works, when she has a passion about something that either she's experienced or her child has experienced or her sister or friend, whatever the relationship is, then they're going to really work. And, you know, and I picture myself, like, I'm on the forefront because I've been doing this since 2014, and I do not see myself, with God's help, I do not see myself slacking up. This is something that I'm going to do until the day I die. But it goes on, it says, long before Rosa Parks became the patron saint of the bus boycott, she was an anti-rape activist investigator. The 1955 Montgomery bus boycott was, in many ways, was the last act in a decades-long struggle to protect Black women from sexualized violence and rape, since they also were sites of sexual and racial violence for Black women, who made up the majority of the riders. So even then, most of the riders were Black women, willing to work. I mean, willing to put in the work. They had the drive. They had the passion. So buses became the target of Black activist protests because they were the most visible vehicle of the system that abused African Americans daily. Organized, led, and sustained by these very women, the Montgomery bus boycott was rooted in Black women's demands for bodily integrity. From Recy Taylor to Anita Hill and now Tarana Burke, who founded the Me Too movement, Black women have been leading the anti-sexual violence movement by speaking out and standing up. So if we are speaking out and standing up, where are our supporters? Where is our help? Where are the ones who say that they care about us? And I'm not saying that you've got to volunteer 24/7. I'm not saying you got to be at every event, but it will help if we had your support sometimes. I mean, even when we have Sexual Assault Awareness Month, it's so hard to find support. It'll be something that we'll continue to work on. I'm not going to give up because I don't have a huge crowd, but as long as I continue to have my few loyal supporters, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. And I definitely do not believe that my work is in vain. Definitely not. Don't believe that. So when it comes to African American women and sexual assault, African-American girls and women 12 years old and older have already experienced a higher rate of rape and sexual assault than white, Asian, and Latina girls. So girls and women 12 years old and older experience a higher rate of rape and sexual assault when compared to white, Asian, and Latina girls. And then 40 to 60% of black women report being subjected to coercive sexual contact by age 18. By age 18. And so as we see so many women who are, let's see, have all these barriers or wear all these masks, we wonder why, you know, women are the way that they are, why they're so, I guess, appear so strong and so determined. Well, when you think about these stats that I'm giving you right now, look what has happened, you know, before age 18, before she's an adult. She's already been tried. She's already been broken, been hurt, sad. 4 in 10 black women have been subjected to intimate partner violence in their lifetime. 4 out of 10. And get this, 40% of confirmed sex trafficking survivors in the U.S. are African American. That almost 50%. That's a large chunk. A lot of our girls are going missing, but no one knows about it. It's not really publicized. It's not, what is wrong? It's like our black girls and our black women, they don't matter, especially when it comes to sexual abuse. It's like, oh, it normally happens, so, hey, they'll get over it, or it happened to her mama, it happened to her grandma, or it happened to Aunt Susie or a cousin, whoever. And so it gets looked at as just something that's normal, because normalized when that is not normal at all. Not normal at all. Stereotypes regarding African-American women's sexuality, including terms like black Jezebel, promiscuous, and exotic, perpetuate the notion that African-American women are willing participants in their own victimization. However, these myths only serve to demean, obstruct appropriate legal remedies, and minimize the seriousness of sexual violence perpetrated against African-American women. So this is how black women are perceived when they're called these names, when young girls are called fast. I hate when I hear that. I hate when I hear an adult especially say, oh, she's being fast. Well, you need to find out why. You need to find out what's going on with her. And don't just call her being fast. That is a learned behavior. And so then the black women, they develop these stereotypes being called Jezebel or promiscuous and exotic. And so whenever a black woman comes forward and tells that she's been raped or that she's been assaulted, then people begin to victim blame. Well, she was dressed a certain kind of way. She was in a place where she had no business being, where she was being promiscuous. So that means she was a willing participant. That is a lie. How can you participate in being assaulted or participate in being raped? Because if I did not give consent, then I'm not participating. It's being forced. You do not force participation. It's not participation. When you force something, you're taking something. That is rape. A study found that college students perceived a black victim of sexual assault to be less believable and more responsible for her assault than a white victim. So again, not believing black women. Why? And I know a lot of it probably has something to do with the media, how the media portrays us as black women. Like, why do we have to be portrayed the same way on every television show and every movie? I mean, it's as if every black woman has had a terrible, hard life, a terrible, hard childhood. And she grows up to be bitter. She grows up to be loud. She grows up to be hard. But why? All right, so if at any time you would like to call in and comment, ask a question, share your passion when it comes to sexual abuse victims, especially as black women, feel free to call in. I would love to hear what you have to say about this. Give us a call at 319-527-6091, and you can press the number 1, and I'll bring you on the line. Again, 319-527-6091, and press the number 1. Or if you're already listening by phone, just press the number 1, and we'll bring you on the line. We're talking about black women and sexual assault. Where is the support? Where are our supporters? And not just, you know, as a people, but even as Christians, as believers. What are we doing? What is the church doing? What are the faith-based communities doing to help victims and to help survivors? Are you just saying, oh, we'll pray for you? No, we need you to do more than pray. We need you to be there. Need you to help in whatever area, in whatever way that you can. Everyone is not a counselor. I understand that. Everyone is not a therapist. Everyone may not know what to say. But, hey, there are books. There is research. You can look online and find out how you can help. You can learn what to say, what not to say. It is not a rocket science. Mainly, we just want you to be there. We want you to be there to support. That is all we're asking for. And that should be the easy part. We're not asking you to always listen to our story because we don't always want to share our story. We just want somebody to be there. We just want somebody to just say, hey, I believe you. I support you. If you need me and if I can help, let me know. That's all. That's all. But sometimes it's just so hard to even find that. But why? With our black women sexual assault survivors, we need you. We need you. All right, so there's some more data that says that black women disproportionately experience violence at home, at school, on the job, and in their neighborhood. And these details, the details of the types of violence black women face, high rates of intimate partner violence, rape, and homicide. So, again, it's letting us know that it's happening to our black girls. It's happening to our black women. But a lot of times it's not often reported. It's not in the light. And we're not seeing it, so we're not supporting the movements. We're not supporting these organizations who are trying to help, you know, these black girls and these black women. So black women also experience significantly higher rates of psychological abuse, including humiliation, insults, name-calling, coercive control, than do women overall. More than 20% of black women are raped during their lifetime. More than 20%. And black women face a particularly high risk of being killed at the hands of a man. A 2015 Violence Policy Center study finds that black women were 2.5 times more likely to be murdered by men than their white counterparts. More than 9 in 10 black female victims knew their killers. And so I can read so many stats that just go on and on about our black girls and our black women. But until we actually do anything about it, until we stand up and speak out as the women did and back in 1955, then it's going to continue to happen. We're going to continue to lose our black women, or the black women are going to continue to lose their voice, because after going through such an experience, such a traumatic experience, it can cause you to lose your voice. It can cause you to become silent, and not just, you know, physically silent, but it shuts you down. And we have a lot of black women who are still hurting from the pain of their past. And my desire is for every black woman to find their voice, those who have lost their voice through abuse or feel like they have lost their power. My desire for you is to find your voice again and to regain your power. And, you know, and it lies inside of you. It's within you. Your voice is inside of you. Your power is inside of you. So I know that you're able to regain both. But at the same time, I know that you are seeking or at least would like to know that there is some type of support out there for you. I mean, I can only speak for myself and my organization. We are here to support you. We are here. And I pray that everyone else, you know, in every area throughout the entire country can begin to change their mindset and begin to change the way they look at support, the word support, and just begin to have compassion for these survivors. And don't worry, I do have a couple of scriptures that I want to tie in with this when it comes to supporting our black women who are survivors of sexual abuse. My dad didn't know it, but he helped me tonight through Bible study when we were going through these scriptures, because every scripture that he was calling out, it was just tying in with what I'm talking about, looking for the support from our community. And you know what? And not even from the community, from the family, because there are so many black women who lack the support from their very own family. So many black girls who lack the support from their very own family. And when I hear that, it saddens me terribly. It does something to my heart. My heart breaks for them, because I know how my family has supported me, and I would be devastated if I did not have the support of my family. But when I do hear, and I'm talking about when I hear from black girls, hear it out of their mouth, black women, that sometimes their mom didn't believe them, or their sister didn't believe them, or the family stopped talking to them because of them sharing their story, it hurts. It hurts. I mean, I can't even imagine that type of hurt when your own family won't even believe that you were abused. And as a child, and why would a child make that up? There's so many times when this happens, when the support is not there from family, then families are broken. And then that black little girl carried that into her adulthood. And so now that black woman still has that little black girl living inside, because she did not receive the love and the compassion that she needed as a child when that hurt was taking place or when that abuse was taking place. And so now as an adult, she's still dealing with that same pain. She's still dealing with the same hurt. And not to have the support of her own mom or her sister or whoever the family members are, it just makes it even worse. It makes it even worse. In my heart, it hurts when I hear of girls and women who lack that support that is much needed, that compassion that is much needed. I don't understand it, and I never will. But as believers, we have to make sure that we are doing our part. Even if, like I said, even if you're unsure of what to do, what to say, more than anything, just be there. Just be there. And when you hear of these events that are going on in your community when it comes to raising awareness, just be there. Show up. That is all we're asking for. Just show up. And so our first scripture is going to be Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We must do as Christ did. Show compassion. When you see that little black girl, or you hear the story of that black woman who has dealt with abuse as a child, he tells us to bear her burdens. Take it on as Christ took on our burdens. Because they need us. They need us. But let's do as Christ did for us. I mean, we are not always in the best shape, but Christ, he still died for us. Even everything that we've gone through, Christ died for us. He bore our burdens, and he's telling us to do the same thing when we see someone else who is overtaken by their burdens, overtaken by their past. Bear her burden. Don't just leave her out there. Don't just leave her left out to dry. With her family, if her family has already forsaken her, then we've got to do our part. We've got to step in and help her. And I like how the Message version put it. It says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. If you think you're too good to bear someone's burdens, then you're only fooling yourself. You're only fooling yourself. You are not God. Christ did it. So what do you think about you and I? If Christ laid down his pride and, you know, didn't even second guess about what he did, then we should feel the same way. Reaching out to help our sisters. Let them know, look, I am here for you. I will cry with you. I will be an ear for you. I will support you. But we've got to do as Christ did. All right, so our next scripture, Romans 15 and 1. Romans 15 and 1. And it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So where we have grown in areas and we see where our sister is weak in that area where we have grown, then we're supposed to bear her infirmities. We're supposed to go and, you know, help her, strengthen her. And it's not for us. Don't just do it just to get brownie points. I mean, because you're not getting any brownie points with God. You only, again, you're deceiving yourself. And so when we have gone through and have been strengthened, then we're supposed to help our sister regain her strength, regain her power, help her find her voice to support her. And again, I want to read the Message version. It says, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. And that's where it gets tough for us. To not just do what is most convenient for us. Because people don't like to go out of their way if it's an inconvenience. But we have to set ourselves aside. We cannot be selfish and feel like, oh, I'll just help her when it's convenient. It might be too late. When you see that someone needs you, when you see that your sister needs you, then you need to be there for her. And it might be inconvenient, but it's not for you. It's not for you. You're helping. You're bearing her infirmities. You're strengthening her. And so it said, don't just do it when it's most convenient for you. Because then it's not like you're doing it because you want to or because you're compassionate. You're only doing it because, oh, I got time to do it, so I'm going to show my face. I'm going to support her. But no, that's not the only time she needs you. And I love this. It says strength is for service and not status. Strength is for service and not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? How can I help? After listening to this tonight, that should be the question that you're asking yourself. The next time you hear the story of a little girl, a little black girl or that black woman, how can I help? Ask yourself, how can I help her? And even if you want to ask her, how can I help? What would you like me to do? How can I help you? Those simple words, four words, how can I help? It can mean the world. It shows that you are compassionate. It shows that you care. It shows that you love, that you have the love of Christ in you, that you're willing to bear those infirmities, that you're willing to be there for those who are weak, that you're willing to be low with them. Those four words, how can I help? Those four words, they speak volume. And that's what we need to ask every time we hear the story, every time we see our Black sister hurting. How can I help? I care about you. How can I help? Jesus wants us to find out, or wants us to ask, how can I help? And don't just ask just to be asking, but ask from the heart. Because he told, it is not about you. It is not to earn the best status. It's not to earn brownie points. But it's all about helping our Black sister find her strength, to find her voice, and to regain her power. There are too many Black women who are hurting and feel like they are broken and feel like they just are worthless, trying to regain strength, trying to regain power. And so they need all of our help. They need us all. They need us to survive, as the song says. I need you to survive. Stand with me. Agree with me. I love you. I need you to survive. It is this will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Our Black women, I need you. My community, I need you. My church family, I need you. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I need you. I cannot do it alone. And I feel like that's not the way God would want it to be anyway. He doesn't want us to do this by ourselves. He doesn't want us to fight this alone. So we've got to change our mindset, for one, and we've got to get on board and start supporting our Black women. And even supporting the Black women who have these organizations who are out there helping these victims and these survivors, these Black victims and survivors, because there are still plenty of them who are hurting, wanting to overcome the pain of the past. And it can be done. It can be done. God is a healer. He is a restorer. He is a redeemer. Whatever it is that you have been harboring, the mental issues, the emotional issues, everything that may have stemmed from the past of sexual abuse, God can uproot it all. He can uproot it all and place a new seed of life inside of you. Because what was placed inside of you, that bad seed that was placed inside of you, it was meant to destroy you. It was meant to break you. It was meant to even take some of you out. But we serve a God who says that we are more than conquerors. We serve a God who gives us the victory. We serve a God who can uproot those bad seeds and replace them with his joy, replace them with his love, replace it with his strength, and everything that we need to survive, to thrive, to overcome, and to help the next person and to help the next sister who needs to overcome, who needs to beat whatever it is that's, you know, keeping them from finding their voice. That's what kind of God we serve. That's what kind of God we serve. And I can testify just from personal experience, what God has done for me. And my desire is for Him to do the same for you. Maybe you're listening, have been harboring some very bad thoughts or dealing with emotional issues or these mental issues. Maybe your spiritual relationship may have been a little tarnished. And maybe it's all stemming from your past of sexual abuse. And that's very much possible. Because what people fail to realize are the many effects that come along with sexual abuse and how it continues to follow you even into your adulthood. And so if you're listening tonight, I would like to say a prayer with you. And maybe you're one who may have turned from God completely, felt like He has forsaken you, felt like He has deserted you and left you out all alone. But His word tells us that He has never forsaken you. He said He will be with you always. So even when you feel like He's not there, He's still there. And all you have to do is just call on Him. He's always listening. He hears every cry. He hears your prayers. And He's ready to deliver you. He's ready to save you. He's ready for you to give your heart to Him. And I want you to pray with me as well. So, Father, we come before You telling You thank You for who You are and for all that You've done. We thank You for the many blessings that You continue to bestow upon us. And, Father, we thank You for this opportunity to share Your word and to share the experiences that You've allowed me to go through and hopefully be a blessing to someone and to just to share the goodness of what You have done and what You're even doing right now. And so, Father, I come on behalf of all of our Black women who are survivors of sexual abuse. God, I pray that You will strengthen them even in this very moment, that You will allow them to seek the help that they need, allow them to be unafraid and to be courageous and to boldly find their voice and share what they have been through. God, I pray that You direct them and that You send the right people their way to support them and to love them and show the compassion that they need. God, I pray for their hearts. I pray for their minds, that they're strengthened. I pray that You will cover them and that You will surround Your loving arms around them and let them know that they are strong, powerful, beautiful, and perfect just the way that You created them, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made and that You love them and there is nothing that they can ever do that will stop You from loving them. And God, I pray for those who may have turned away from You, but who are seeking You even right now. God, I pray that they understand and that they know that You have never left them, that You've been by their side, even in their darkest moments, even when they felt like that they were deserted. God, I pray that You will wrap Your loving arms around them, that they will seek You even the more, that they will open their heart and receive You and receive Your love and receive Your forgiveness so that You can welcome them back into Your family. God, we thank You. We bless Your name just for who You are. I pray for every survivor. I pray for everyone who is even supporting the survivors, every organization. I pray that You will continue to provide the resources that are needed to help these women. God, I thank You, and I praise You. Pray for those who are sick, even that are listening. I pray that You will send Your healing power in the name of Jesus. Comfort those who may be experiencing bereavement in their family. God, we just pray for them now. God, pray for those who just need to feel a touch from You, who need to feel Your presence. God, we thank You for just being God. We bless Your name, and we'll forever give Your name all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Now at this time, we will receive our announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'll return back to close out and give the final remarks and more information about One Touch Transformation.
All right, real quickly. Good show tonight. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, And we hope if you said that prayer of rededication, that you find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ. And if you can't find that sanctuary, that's why we broadcast here almost each and every night at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request, or just let us know you turned a new leaf over in life, and we greatly appreciate that. You can also like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. We greatly appreciate that, and don't forget to tell a friend about Purpose Kingdom Network. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We also have our past and previous broadcasts right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can simply type in the host name and the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. We thank those that will participate in doing that. We also hope that you participate in our morning walk of prayer. You can follow on any of our social media pages, or you can go to anchor.com or Anchor FM, where you just go ahead and type in Purpose Kingdom, or you can just follow the links on any one of our social media pages, where you can just get a morning word of inspiration. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Warriors of Christ with Sister Dominique Hudson. And once again, at the 9 p.m. hour, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening for Warriors of Christ, hosted by Sister Dominique Hudson. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of our announcements. And we're going to bring back Minister Jackson.
All right. Thank you, Brother Rob, for those announcements. If you would like more information about our organization at One Touch Transformation, you can find us on Facebook right under One Touch Transformation. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at _ONETT. Please follow us so you can stay updated about what's going on in our area and ways that you can help even if you're not in our local area. If you would like more information about me, you can check out my website. It's arthenius.com. That's arthenius.com. I would like to take this moment and thank all of our online listeners for joining in, and thank all of those who called in and listened. I certainly appreciate your support, because, like I said, support is what we need, and we appreciate people like you. I would also like to give a couple of resources that are available for, you know, 24 hours a day, and maybe you may not need it, but you may know someone who may need it. But I want to give out the sexual assault hotline number, which is 1-800-656-4673. Excuse me, that's 1-800-656-4673, and that is the sexual assault hotline. There's also a way to contact a crisis counselor via text messages, so you can write this down as well. You text the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to the number 741-741. So text the word HOME to 741-741, and this will allow you to get connected to a crisis counselor. And that's through crisistextline.org. So crisistextline.org. And there are also resources for our male survivors. I know tonight was geared towards our women, our black women, but I also like to give out the resources for men, because we do know that our men are affected by sexual abuse as well. So that organization is 1 in 6, and their website is 1in6.org. So that's the number 1in6.org. So that's for our male survivors, if you're looking for some resources to help maybe a male that you know. And another great resource is Organization RAIN, which is an acronym for Rape Abuse Incest National Network. And that's RAINN.org. RAINN.org. So all of those are some great resources that you want to, you know, share with someone that you may know needed, or with some parents. Maybe you're part of a ministry that's dealing with youth, or a part of a women's ministry, the men's ministry. So make sure you're putting that information out there, because you're going to have the people that are closest to you, they're not always going to speak up. They're not going to always share the story with you. But as long as you make the resources available, kind of put it out there. If you want to put it on your page or put in your group messages, just let them know, hey, this is some information. Maybe someone can use it, because you never know. You never know who is going through or who has gone through assault. And they just might need that piece of information that you have. So be sure to share this. And remember I said that's going to be the question that you're going to ask, how can I help? This is one way that you can start, by sharing the information, sharing everything that you learn. You're making yourself aware of how you can help. And that way you can help others become aware of how they can help. So thank you again for your support tonight. And again, follow One Touch Transformation on Facebook and on Instagram. We are doing some wonderful things in the community to help spread awareness, and we're taking those preventative measures so that kids will know what sexual abuse is, what the predators are, what boundaries mean, and what consent means. We're doing that through our program called the Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program. It's for young girls ages 6 to 15. We meet with these young girls for 12 weeks out of the school semester. So we have a spring semester and a fall semester. And throughout those 12 weeks, we discuss all types of topics. And of course, we touch on boundaries and consent and sexual abuse and sexual traffic. Those are some of our main topics. But throughout the 12 weeks, we also have a spa night for them, which we've been doing this week. We have a health and hygiene night. We talk about what it means to value who you are and your self-worth. And our motto is, I am strong, I am powerful, I am beautiful, and I am perfect just the way I am. And I just want to take this time and thank all of our supporters and all of those who have donated to allow some of these girls to participate in the program, because there is a fee for the program, which is $30, but there are some families, believe it or not, you know, $30 may not sound like a lot, but for some families who have more than one, more than two, or more than three kids and want their daughter to participate in this program, they're not financially able to do so. So we have been so gracious to have so many wonderful donors to sponsor so many girls so that they're able to participate in this program, and we are so grateful for that. So thank you to those who have been the Butterfly Effect. And you can also follow that page on Facebook called the Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program, and we're always posting the things that we're doing. So One Touch Transformation, as I stated at the very beginning, this is not something that I'm going to be slacking on. This is one of my passions. I care about victims, and I care about survivors, and my desire is for every victim and every survivor to regain their strength, regain their power, and find their voice, and let them know, look, you can make it. I did it, and I know that you can too. And I'm proud of everyone who has, you know, been so kind enough and who has trusted me to share their story. I do not take it lightly. I do not take it for granted, because you do not have to share anything with me. But for those of you who have shared, I'm honored. I think it's a privilege just for you to open up to me, because you could open up to anyone else. And that's one of the biggest things that we're so careful about when you're first sharing your story, because you don't just want to confide in any and everybody, but you want to find that person that you trust, that person that you know that you can confide in, who's going to be there to support you, be there to be a listening ear, to be a shoulder that you can cry on. So even whenever you're asking yourself, how can I help, keep all of that in mind. Keep all of it in mind when you're asking, how can you help? Know when to back away. Be honest. Be upfront. If it's something that you can't do, let them know and say, well, I don't know what to do. If you don't know the answer, don't be afraid to admit it. But ask yourself, how can I help? And ask her, how can I help? Because she needs you. That little black girl needs you. That black woman, she needs you. So, again, thank you so much for taking the time out to join us with Purpose Kingdom Network. I've been your host, Arthenius Jackson, with One Touch Transformation. So until next time, keep asking yourself, how can I help? What can I do to help? How can I help you? Those simple words. do as Christ did. All right, I believe that's the wrap for tonight. So I pray that you have a wonderful night and enjoy the rest of your week.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.